This morning we're going to be turning once again to the Gospel of Mark, and hopefully we'll be able to discover a little bit more about who Jesus is and what he is able to be involved in our life. And I just want to begin this morning by just saying, how many of you have ever been driving down the highway and there was a few drops of rain, and then it began to pour down some rain, and then there was a torrential downpour, and the rain was so hard against the window wipers that you just flap it in the breeze going like this. You could hardly see 10 feet in front of your face. And you wanted to pull over to the side of the road, but you knew that that wasn't quite safe to do. You wanted to slow down, but you weren't quite certain whether or not someone was going to come up behind you. And you weren't quite certain if you were going to run into the back of somebody else. You ever been there? Sometimes life is like that. I think that we're going down the road of life, and all of a sudden we have this torrential downpour, and we're afraid of getting rear-ended. We're afraid of running into the back end of somebody else, and that life is just absolutely just in disarray. It might be that you have too much month at the end of your money. It might be that you've gone to the doctor's office and you've received some word that you didn't want to receive. It could be that, you know, there's something wrong in your family, but one day everything's going great, and the next moment everything seems to fall to pieces, and it's just absolutely just a horrible, terrible life. Some of us have hurricanes. Some of us have tornadoes. Some of us have torrential downpours. Well, we've been looking at the Gospel of Mark this morning throughout this series, and we've been looking at who Jesus is and how does Jesus relate to our life. And today we're going to turn to the book of Mark again, chapter 4. And as we turn to Mark chapter 4, we're going to again look at this passage of Scripture that hopefully will speak to our hearts. And it's about a storm. So Scott, if you want to bring that up, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And a great windstorm arose, and the winds and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Next slide. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And that's the question that we have been asking ourselves. Who is Jesus and how does his life relate to us today? Now going back again, let's just sort of recount the context of this passage of Scripture. Last week we looked at the parables of Jesus and we looked at how he taught with stories. We saw how he would share a story about a pearl or about a mustard seed or about the soils and how those related to the kingdom of God and to our own lives. And a parable was simply a story that related a very complex truth in a very simple way, and yet which called us to examine it, to ponder it, to meditate upon it, to pray about it, to study it, to look at it. In other words, a parable is not merely something that we are given and we just go on our way. It's meant to call us to really challenge our lives. Jesus has been teaching, and if you've ever been teaching or preaching, or those of you who've been in the classroom as teachers, you know how exhausting it can become, how emotionally draining it can become. And so Jesus, after having taught these parables and these stories, and teaching the multitude, decided that he was going to get away for a few days for some rest and just to get off by himself and just to enjoy himself, as well as to continue his ministry. And it says here that he asked his disciples to secure a small boat for them, and they got into the boat and they were going across this sea called the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is a very pretty picture. In fact, if you look at that, it's surrounded by mountains and hillsides. Here the disciples had grown up. You have Caesarea and Bethesda and Capernaum. You have all these various areas where they had their home places. And they would go out on this lake every day and they would fish. It's about 7 miles wide, about 700 miles below the Mediterranean Sea. And it's a very beautiful, picturesque place. They go out and they fish every day on this sea or this lake as we would know it today, because it's really not the sea. But we find that on this particular day, they were going across and a storm arose. And it was a natural tendency of the Sea of Galilee to develop these storms. It was suspect of that. I mean, one moment it was like Indiana weather. You know, today it's this hour it's raining and the next moment it's snowing. That's what happens here in Indiana. Well, in the Sea of Galilee, you could be taking a boat across and everything could be peaceful. And all of a sudden, because it was sitting in a basin, what happened was that there was a storm that would occur. And the waves would become very intense. And it would just become very, these were fishermen. Now get this, these are fishermen. And Mark says they became very, very afraid of the storm. Very, very much afraid of the storm. And they were very familiar with that. Now, when I stop and I think about this and I think about various storms, I want you to notice these boats up here because they were going across in a boat. And down here you have, over here is actually the Jesus boat. They discovered this in the Sea of Galilee on the shore in the mud, and they were able to excavate it, and they were able to reconstruct it. And this is about the size of the Jesus boat at that time. Over here you have the USS Enterprise. Anne's son-in-law was on the USS Enterprise. It's now retired. And over here you have the HMS Bounty, which is a tall ship. Of all the ships I would rather be on, which one would it be? This one right here. This one right here. But you know, it would fit almost to the exact shore of the Sea of Galilee. The HMS Bounty, however, was a tall ship, and so you're talking about, you know, about the length of the sanctuary, or just a little bit longer. It was actually constructed for the movie The Mutiny on the Bounty. It was the actual replica of the ship called the Bounty, and so it was called the HMS Bounty. It was also starred in, if you watch the Pirates of the Caribbean, it was also the ship in the Pirates of the Caribbean. And just recently during Hurricane Sandy, we all know that, well, maybe you don't know, the crew and the captain decided to take the Bounty out to sea in order to secure it, to make it safe. Because a ship out at sea is safer than if it's tied to the dock. And so the crew members and the captain got in the boat and they went out to sea. And as they were going down to the southern part of the states there, they were around North Carolina, and they had a mechanical problem. Now this boat was just a little bit longer than the HM or the original Bounty, and it was run, it had also had an engine in it as well as the sails. But there was a mechanical malfunction, and it ceased to be able to maneuver. And so it became basically at the mercy of the storm. And according to the records, there was 3 to 4 foot story waves that began to wash over the boat. The winds were so tremendous, they were in excess of 80 to 90 miles per hour. They said the ship was absolutely uncontrollable. And as we think about the ship, Laura Groves, who was a crew member on board the ship at that time, said, and she was one of the crew members that survived, the captain and another crew member lost their lives because the ship went down. She said it was like a giant washing machine in an earthquake while going down a giant slide. Now, let me read that. It was like a washing machine in an earthquake while going down a giant slide. Now, if you'll notice the scriptures, what does Mark say about this storm on the Sea of Galilee that the disciples and Jesus were in? He says that it was a great storm. A great storm of wind, he says. He said the waves beat into the ship. He said that the boat was now filling. And so here they were trying to maintain their sanity, trying to keep this little bitty boat afloat. They're bailing water like crazy, and the disciples are absolutely frantic. And where's Jesus? The Bible tells us that Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. Now, either he's just plain absolutely just tired from teaching, or he says, what's the big deal? I'm God. You know, what's a storm going to do to me? But he's asleep in the stern of the boat, and these disciples are beside themselves, and they become frantic, and they run up to Jesus, and they say to him, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're drowning? Translated is, Lord, if you really loved us, you would not allow us to go through this storm. Lord, if you really loved us, you would not allow us to be confronted by this bad news. Lord, if you really loved us and loved me, you would help us bail some water. Lord, if you you get that? Lord, if you really loved us. And what we find is that Jesus finally woke up, and he stands up, and he speaks out to the storm, and he says, peace, be still. And immediately, the winds and the waves ceased. And the boat was there on complete, calm, placid waters. You know, like a sea of glass. And the Bible now says, and I want you to grab a hold of this. I'm not going to go into this real deeply this morning, but notice this. At one moment, they're afraid of the storm, and they're afraid of what the storm is going to do to them. And then the Bible says when Jesus speaks peace to the storm, they become terrified of who he is. And they begin to ask, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Now, isn't that ironic? One moment, they're afraid of the storm. And then the next moment, they're terrified of Jesus who stills their storm. Now, friends, listen to me. A storm has one goal. It's to test you. It's to try you. I mean, a storm will tear you apart. It will wear you down emotionally. A storm will sink you. A storm will devastate your life. But Jesus, friends, is the master of the storm. And he loves us. He will never allow anything into our life that destroys us and that will never allow us to separate us from his great love. I mean, storms will tear us apart. We can be afraid of storms, but Jesus never. And yet they were terrified of who he was. Who is this man who speaks peace to these waves? Now, there's several things about Jesus as we look at him and the storms. And first of all, storms are inevitable. And this is a picture of the HMS Bounty from a Coast Guard helicopter as they were flying out to rescue the crew members. Again, the Bounty went down in the midst of those tall waves. But friends, storms are inevitable. Storms happen to each and every one of us. Sometimes it's like, you know, you're going down the road, a one-way street the wrong way. You ever done that? I have. You know? And I've met other people who've done that as well. You, Carrie, you've done that. I know that you have. But nonetheless, I remember when I was younger, you know, I was 18 years of age or thereabouts. I'd gone up to Fort Wayne, and I never will forget this. I don't know why it's anchored in my mind, perhaps because of, you know, my stupidity. But I accidentally turned up a road there in the middle of Fort Wayne, four lanes of highway coming in my direction. And I was going that way. And I was saying, they're out to get me! Why don't they? They were beeping their horns, hollering their hands, you know, wow, wow, wow. And oh, they're out to get me. And then I realized I was going the wrong way. And I immediately turned off onto a side road and said, whew, thank you, Lord Jesus. So you know that, you know, I thought I was out, you know, anyway. Sometimes you're going in the right direction and you end up going the wrong way. Someone else put it this way, about the time we think we have everything in the bag bursts. But the truth is that life is full of turnarounds. It really is. I mean, we have our highs and we have our lows. We have our mountains and we have our valleys. We have our good times and we have our bad times. Life, you know, throws all sorts of storms at us. And I wish I could sit here and tell you today that when you give your life to God, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything's going to be smooth sailing. I wish I could tell you that when you give your life to Jesus, that your life is going to be a bed of roses. I mean, I wish I could tell you that when you give your life to Jesus, you're not going to experience any devastation, any illnesses, any problems anymore in your life. But I can't. I'd be lying. Because storms come to the good and to the bad, to the just and to the unjust, you know, to the big and to the small. Storms are inevitable in life. They come to every one of us. And Mark reminds us that this storm arose when? When they were doing what God or what Jesus, who was God, had told them to do. He said, I want you to go get me a boat. And I want to go across to the other side. The storm arose because they were obeying God. They were obeying Jesus. I think about the Apostle Paul, Acts 27. You know that he was going up to Rome to be tried in a Roman court. God wanted him there to give testimony to who he was. And while he was going to Rome, a vast northeasterly wind came on him. A storm boat bore down upon them and sunk the ship. And all was because he was doing what God had called him to do. Sometimes storms arise when we're obeying God. Sometimes storms arise when you're in disobedience to God. Jonah, what was he doing? He was running from God. He didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. As far as he was concerned, Nineveh could just, you know, just not hear the good news of the gospel. And so he ran. And as he ran, the storm came up. And they found out that he was the culprit. And they threw him overboard. And he was swallowed by this great fish or this great whale. Finally, the whale, you know, puked him out on the shore somewhere. But nonetheless, the storm arose in his life because he was disobeying God. But God, friends, listen, he doesn't grant me an exemption from the storms of life. I don't care who we are or where we've been or how long we've walked with the Lord. We all experience those storms of life. Now, storms, in many ways, tell me what's important to me, too. You know, have you noticed that when you have a storm in your life, they really tell you what's important in your life? I have been doing some, in my, you know, spare moments every once in a while, I go back and I watch the old Gunsmoke shows or Bonanza shows. Yeah, I mean, you know how it is? I'm reliving some of my nostalgia. Life is going so fast. And I thought, man alive, you know, here I'm going to be 100 years old. And you know, life has just begun. And so I've gone back and tried to grab a hold of some of my youth and going back to watch Matt Dillon and Gunsmoke and Chester, you know, and Hoss and Little Joe as he combats and I Love Lucy, you know. who yesterday I happened to see a little episode. I was waiting for Lana to come home, and I happened to turn on the television set, and I Love Lucy was on, and she was on a lawnmower and mowed down her neighbor's tulips, you know. Tried to replace them with wax tulips and melted in the sun. That was before she went down a one-way road the wrong way on a lawnmower, okay? But if you like Westerns, out in North Dakota, Deadwood, North or South Dakota, I should say, there's a museum, and it has this inscription on the side of a wall that was left there by some beleaguered prospector. He said, "I lost my gun, I lost my horse, I'm out of food, the Indians are after me, but I've got all the gold I can carry," you know? He didn't care whether or not Indians attacked him and scalped him. He didn't care whether he didn't have any means of transportation or no food. He had gold. He had gold. Then I think about Claudine Christian, who was one of the crew members. Again, the captain and one other crew member, Claudine Christian, lost their life in the sinking of the HMS Bounty. And as they were heading out to sea, the crew members began to gather some of the things that if they lost their lives, that hopefully they would wash up to shore or their bodies would be discovered and they would find notes that they had tucked away to just communicate to their family their love. Well, Claudine Christian, who was one of the crew members who lost her life, texted her mother on her cell phone. And here's what she said in that text. "If I go down with the ship and the worst happens, know that I'm truly, genuinely happy and I'm doing what I love." Wow. "If I go down with the ship and the worst happens, know that I'm truly, genuinely happy and I'm doing what I love." And storms define for us what we consider important. For her, even if she lost her life, she was doing what she loved to do and what she felt was important. Bob Pierce, who was a leader in the World Vision today, said this: "We cannot decide whether or not we live or die. We can only decide what we will live or what we will die for." What we will die for. And what's important in our life? And here's the disciples. They're out on this storm. And what I capture a hold of this, and Scott, if you'll go to the next slide, you'll find there that, you know, we're in the midst of the storm, but we're never out of God's sight. We're never out of His sight. And we have to believe that God is there with us. The disciples thought that Jesus, you know, here he was sleeping. You know, he doesn't know what's happening. You know, we're in the midst of this storm and these circumstances. But friends, the world around you might be falling apart and your life might be falling, but you're never out of God's sight. I think about David, who the psalmist went through a lot of storms in his life. And in Psalm 46, he simply said that God is his refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. How many times do you read the Psalms? He says, "God's my hope, God's my refuge, God's my fortress." In other words, he's there. He's there. There shall be nothing that shall ever be able to separate me from his love. He's there. I am never out of his sight. No matter how high the waves, no matter how strong the wind, no matter how torrential the downpour, wherever I am, God is, and God is there, and God knows where I'm at. Even if I'm in the midst of a capital T trouble, God is there. Ben Sherwood is an author of a book which was entitled The Survivor's Club. And he wanted to study all these individuals who had survived plane crashes and devastating fires and earthquakes and concentration camps and you name it. And as he was doing this, he wanted to know what was it that helped these people to survive? What made them different from all the rest? And he thought surely it wasn't any kind of faith or religious experience. I mean, he sort of put that out of his mind, but every time he came back and he asked them, they all went back to the fact that overwhelmingly belief in God and their faith was what helped them to endure the storm. And then he went to interview Ray Lewis, who was a teacher at the Naval Survival Training Institute down in Pensacola, Florida. And he asked him, you know, what is it that enables people to survive these storms? How do they make it through? How do they survive these difficult circumstances in life? And Ray Smith said, it's faith in God. And Ben says, what's the secret of survival? And Ray says, faith in God. What's the secret of survival? Faith in God. Faith in God. David Livingston was a great missionary to Africa. you've never read his book, I mean, or read a story about him, read it. He went to Africa, discovered Victoria Falls, one of the great falls in Africa. And when he finally left Africa, went back to Scotland, his home country, he was giving a lecture before the students at Glasgow University. He had been emaciated by disease, malaria, and everything else that you could possibly have. His left arm was mangled and had been left disabled because he had been mauled by a lion. I mean, he was just absolutely just through the mill physically. And as he stood there and he lectured to those students, one of them asked him very simply, "David Livingston, Mr. Livingston, what is it that got you through these most difficult times?" And his simple reply was, "It was Christ's promise that he would be with me to the very end." I mean, what does the psalmist say in Psalm 23? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me." I mean, we're never out of God's sight. He's always there. And so here these disciples are, and they look like Jesus is asleep on the boat. He doesn't know. He's not aware of their circumstances. He is more than aware. And he's more than aware of what you are going through. He's more than aware of the storms of our life. We're never out of his sight. And secondly, we're never out of his reach. In fact, if you go to Mark chapter 6, you'll discover another story about another storm. And if you read the other Gospels, you'll find it was a storm in which they're out in the boat. The storm comes upon them. Jesus is on a mountain praying, and he looks down upon them. Again, we're never out of his sight. He sees them in the midst of the storm, and he comes walking to them on the waves. Now, the book of Job says it's only God who can walk on water. I know if I could walk on water, it'd make me feel a whole lot better when I went swimming, you know. If I could just breathe underwater, I'd be doing a whole lot better than I do now, you know. But I can't walk on water. Only God can walk on water. And so he came walking to them on water because Jesus was God. They looked out and they saw this figure coming towards them. They didn't know what it was. They thought it was a ghost. And then Jesus says, "Don't worry, it's I." Peter says, "Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." He said, "Well, come on." And Peter got out of that boat and started walking towards Jesus. And as long as his eyes were focused upon Jesus, he was walking on water. And then he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink, began to go down into the depths of the waters. And he cried out, "Help me, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of that hand and lifted him back up on that water. And they both walked hand in hand to the boat. Again, what does the psalmist say? "Where can I go to flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I go to the depths of the sea, behold, even there you are. Wherever I might be, wherever I am at, behold, you are there. When I go through the trials and troubles, you hold me." You know, there's times we feel like God doesn't care for us. You know, the storm's going to devastate us. But the scriptures remind us, Jesus is there. And we're never out of his reach. And thirdly, we're never out of his care. You might feel like it at times. You know, you might feel like, you know, God doesn't care, that he's forgotten all about you, that he doesn't really care about, you know, the pain of your heart, the emotional agony of your spirit. You might not care, and you might feel like he's abandoned you, but nothing could be further from the truth. Ann sent me a picture here a while back on email of a bird. I like this. Look at this picture. Scott, look at this. You see that? You got a bird and you got two little underneath the wings. It reminds me of the story "Under His Wings." You know. We're held there underneath the wings of God, the arms of God. And whatever we are in the life, the storms of life, I mean, again, wouldn't it be great to be able to say that when you gave your life to Christ, you had smooth sailing? Wouldn't it be great to be able to say that you just went skipping over the waves to meet him every time you had a storm? Wouldn't it be great to say that when the factory closes, you know, everybody loses their job, I still had my job? When everybody else got the cold and the flu, I remained healthy. That, you know, when everybody else's family was falling apart, mine was always perfect. Never any problems. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, you know, that my car never broke down, yours might have, but mine never breaks down because I walk with God? No. We all have those storms of life. And I don't care. You know, you may be walking with God and you may have walked with Christ for 40 years. And here's someone who's walked with Christ for 1 month. We still have the same problems. It's what you put your faith in. You see, the ship may be on the verge of sinking. The ship may sink. But you and I don't have to. It's what we put our faith in. And so Mark reminds me that I'm to put up my faith in him. See, who's Mark writing to? He's writing to a group of Christians who were having to endure persecution under the reign of Nero. And Nero was one of the most wicked emperors of Rome who ever lived. You know, it wasn't beside him to take Christians, throw them into the Colosseum, to take Christians and use them as human torches in his garden parties. Mark is saying to them, hey, remember who it is that you serve. You know, the storm might cause the ship to sink, but you don't have to sink. And I step back from this and I say, you know, we're marching to the cross. It's just a few weeks and we're going to be celebrating Good Friday and Easter. And Mark moves towards that cross and he focuses upon the cross of Christ. Do you realize that Jesus Christ endured the ultimate storm on the cross of Calvary? He endured the ultimate storm, which was God's justice against sin. You know, we're all in sin. We're all enemies of God. And he went to the cross to bear the judgment of God. How many of you have ever seen National Treasure? I like this little phrase in there where Ben has stolen the Declaration of Independence. And he's sitting in the little chapel there at church. And he's talking to the FBI agent, and he says to him, Ben, somebody's got to pay. He says, well, can so-and-so get off somebody? You know, so can this happen? Can this happen? Ben, somebody has to pay. Well, in the divine plan of God and divine justice of God, somebody has to pay for my sin. And Jesus went to the cross. He endured the ultimate storm. But when I look at that cross, and I'm reminded of the fact, this one fact, if Jesus went to the cross to bear the sins of the world, and he did not abandon that call, he did not abandon that purpose, because he loved me to the very nth degree, he's not going to abandon me in the storm that I experience today. If Jesus was willing to go to the cross to endure that ultimate storm and the sin of the world, he's not going to abandon me or you in the storms that we experience this week. And we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who holds us in the palm of his hands. When we step back and we say, who is this Jesus? We say, he's Savior. He's the Lord. He's Master. He's Redeemer. He's the one who speaks peace to the storms. What do we put our faith in? Who do we put our faith in? You know, now, you know, we might have a little bit of anxiety and fear from the circumstances, but we never have to be afraid of the storm. And friends, I want to just say this. Whatever you do in the midst of the storm, don't push Jesus away. Don't push him away. Don't say, don't you care? You know, if you really love me, don't push him away. Trust him. Believe in him. Walk with him. Rest in him. And when the going gets tough, remember this. You're never out of his sight. You're never out of his reach. And you're never out of his care. He's with us to the very end. And the cross tells me that. We have a God who cares and who enfolds us within his arms of love. And so he can speak peace to your storm. We can learn from the storm. But remember this, our Savior is greater than this storm. Precious Lord, we come to you today. Father, we don't know what it is that every one of us is going through. Sometimes, again, we come and there's a storm raging on the inside of us and we can keep it pretty well hidden. No one else is able to detect it. But inside, we're turmoil and we're anxious and we're afraid and our life is, you know, going down the tubes and we're afraid that's the end of it all. And yet, Lord Jesus, help us to understand that whether someone else can see the storm in our heart, the storm in our soul, the storm in our spirit, that, Lord, you know, and you can see with what we wrestle. And I pray this morning that whatever the storm is that someone might be wrestling with, that they might hear you speak to them, peace be still. And that, Lord, the anxiety would cease, the fear would dissipate as we stand back and say, wow, who is this person who can even command the storm of my life to be quiet? Father, I pray, speak peace into our hearts and our soul. Hold us in the palm of your hands and reassure us always, again, that we're never out of your sight, never out of your reach, never out of your care, that we might trust in you, believe in you, have faith in you. And to know that even in spite of the waves and the storm that encircles us, we have a Savior who walks with us through it. And you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Father, speak peace in Jesus' name. Amen.